Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
We have to start and grow within. That is organic growth. That's the way anything and everybody grows. That's alive. So Peter is saying, you got no choice. If you got all this in you and you genuinely receive Christ, you are going to grow in Christ. And it's going to be organic growth.
The truth is, sin isn't something to be managed, it's something to defeat. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young shares the rest of his message, Saved by a Look, where he shows you how to turn away from sin and embrace true life in Jesus Christ. Stay tuned. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in just a moment. Before we jump into Dr. Young's message, there's an encouraging resource offered this month you'll want to know about. It's Dr. Young's 5-message series, Overcoming Tough Times. Suffering and difficulties happened before the coronavirus, definitely during, and will continue to happen after this pandemic. But suffering doesn't have to mean defeat. The Old Testament hero Job was an expert on suffering, losing his health, his wealth, and even his loved ones. And in this series, Dr. Young shares God's answers to Job's questions about dealing with tough times and gives you valuable insights to overcoming your own suffering today. We'll send you Overcoming Tough Times as thanks for your donation today to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy of Overcoming Tough Times when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-WALK. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Saved by a Look, Part 2.
I asked Keith last week about the Aggies, he said. He said, we won. I asked him today about the Aggies. He said, they lost. Be seated. So you can even be inconsistent and still in Christ, you and I are filled with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. God looks upon you and me as a Christian as perfect. He's telling us who we are. It even gets better than this. Look at it. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge, there's our word, of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. In Christ, you've received all the righteousness of God, and now you have grace and you have peace. It is multiplied exponentially in you and in me. Man, all of a sudden, I'm beginning to realize who I am and who you are in Christ. Then it says, verse 3, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Now we have righteousness. Now we have knowledge. Now we have power. Now we have grace. Now we have peace. If you're in Christ and you've received Christ and I've received Christ, doesn't matter about the past. Doesn't matter all that back there, how many times Peter, how he shamed the Lord, disobeyed the Lord, got on the wrong track dealing with Gentiles there, got in an argument with Paul in the Jerusalem council. Doesn't matter about all that. Man, right now, this is who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, verse 4, we're partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world of lust. I want to ask everybody here, do you need anything else? Can you think of anything? It's all for life. Anybody here needs anything else? I mean, I don't believe you could name a single thing. Not a single thing. That's who you are. That's who I am. And Peter's just reminding us of this. How fabulous that is. That's who we are in Christ. Very simple. Then he says, on top of this givenness, when we receive Christ, this is what you can become. It's even more. Verse 5. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, excellent morality. In your moral excellence, you'll have knowledge, wisdom. And in your knowledge, you'll have self-control, discipline. In your self-control, you'll have perseverance. In your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. In your brotherly kindness, love. He's almost echoing the fruit of the Spirit. This is who I am. This is who you are. And this is what we can become. Oh, goodness. I mean, what? It's just the sky's the limit. He's saying you have to grow in your faith. Your relationship with Christ, my relationship with Christ, is never static. It is always dynamic. And he talks about this. Verse 8, for those qualities, boy, here are qualities, are yours and are increasing and render you neither useless, you're useful, nor unfaithful, you are faithful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then verse 9, for he or her who lacks these qualities, not growing, you're blind, short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. What's he saying? He's saying, this is who you are. You got all of this. And you're right with God, right with yourself, right with your fellow man. And then you can have all of this in addition to that. And therefore, because you have all of this and you can have all of this even more as we grow with the fruit of the Spirit, we are to mature, we're to grow up. Now, most of us think, sadly, that Christianity makes a nice person nicer. I'm a Christian. I was nice, but now that I'm a Christian, I'm nicer. Others of us think that there are respectable and there are the unrespectable folks. The unrespectable folks are way down in a scale of 1 to 10. If 10 is perfection, they're down in 2 or 3 or 4, had a bad home, bad relationship, and they're still corrupt and crooked and vicious and vile, and you can't trust them. They're mean-spirited, and they've had a tough time, and they're living a tough... They're respectable. And then they're the non-respectable. And those who are respectable, we're up, you know, up there 7, 8, or 9, and we came up in a pretty good family. We've turned our life around. We're married. We have children. We're honorable. People like us. We work hard. And so you have the non-respectable way down, 2 or 3 or 4. You've got the respectable way up here. The nice are getting nicer. Those who are not very nice are, I mean, and that's how we think of Christianity, some kind of chart. We have forgotten, ladies and gentlemen, what? Say, I know a lot about this. No, you don't. What sin really is. Been around church, you've heard Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. How do sheep go astray? They just drift off. They wander away from the shepherd and the flock, and they have no sense of direction, and they trip, they get cast, they can't defend themselves. They just wander. That's how we get astray. We just wander away. Anyway, we just go. All we like sheep have gone. Everyone has turned to their own way, but God has taken him and put our iniquity, I love that word. That's a true word for sin. It sounds slimy. Iniquity. God has put our iniquity on Jesus, and he has taken all our iniquity and died for us. Now, we get the first part. All we like sheep have gone astray, absolutely. And God has taken our iniquity, our sin, and put it on Jesus, and he's paid the price. We get that. But we miss the middle part. It says, each and every one have gone their own way. Sin is going your own way. It's when I go my own way. It's when we get so arrogant that we can say, you know, I've worked out my own deal with God. We go our own way. Sin is Burger King. Have it your way. That's it, isn't it? Go in, have it your way. That's sin. Following God and Jesus Christ and going up is McDonald's. It's a Big Mac. It's different. Have it your way, Burger King. Big Mac, two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese. Oh, pickles, onions, and a sesame seed bun. I mean, that's Big Mac. What's the difference? Have it your way or have it this way. God's way is a Big Mac. He says, this is the principles upon which you live, the principles upon which I've created this world. This is the way your life can be lived. It is nailed down, here is my recipe, not your way, but God's way. It's a difference between Burger King and McDonald's. Not too tough, was it? So we are called to grow up and remove ourselves from saying, I want to run my own life. Remove our eyes and say, well, this preacher told me it was all right, or my mother said, or we've got to understand that God has clearly spelled out for us, you see it here in 2 Peter so clearly, how we can know him and live for him and have a life here and forever that is glorious. It's God's way. It's a Big Mac. Here's the formula. Here's the prescription. It's not what you think, what I want, and what you want. God has a way, and we've got to grow up in this way. He's given us the capacity to do it. He's put in us the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. A sense of his divinity in that sin has marred us. We're made in the image of God. That image of God can begin to be restored in this life. Whoa! We got to grow up. Mature. You can't stay static with all of this that God in Christ has given to us. How do you get stronger? I do curls. I've got 10-pound weights. I do 30 curls like this, 10-pound weights. That's not much. Try it. I do a set of those, 30 of them. I weigh 10-pound weights, another set of 30. Okay. Weight, do another set of 30. That's not much weight. Try it. And you do another set of 30. And when I get through, I'm weak. You say, boy, lift those weights has sure made you weak. Has it made me weak? No, it's made me stronger. And if it doesn't strain you, you're not getting stronger. When do we grow? When do we bear fruit? We say everything. Oh, I got a little architectural, agricultural background. And you know, it's you plant and you it grows and blooms and harvests. You know when a tree grows stronger than any other time? It's in the winter. It's when everything looks dead. A tree goes strong in the winter because the roots have to go deeper to get nourishment, and water has to go out and create more roots. This happens primarily in the winter with most trees. When do you and I grow? Everything is wonderful. Everything's going my way. Oh, it's so great. We grow deeper in the wintertime. We grow up. We grow when we exercise our muscles. Growth in Christ is organic. What does that mean? I have a pile of 90 rocks are piled up right here. And I add 10 more rocks to the pile has grown, right? Huh? Not too fast, anybody, am I? That's inorganic growth. We have the idea that I'm growing in God when I am going to all the meetings at the church. I'm there at a prayer meeting. I go in the morning, I go late, and I work and I work and I work and I go and I go and I meet and I meet and I church and I church and I Bible study and I Bible study. Man, I've just filled my life with all of this stuff. I'm sure growing as a Christian. I doubt it. We can be fooled by a lot of religious activity stuff and not have, that's inorganic growth. I've packed all these things in my life. We're not having organic growth, which comes from within. It comes from being. And then there is doing. Then we worship. Then we have Bible study. But we have to start and grow within. That is organic growth. That's the way anything and everybody grows. That's alive. So Peter is saying, you got no choice. If you got all this in you and you genuinely receive Christ, you are going to grow in Christ. And it's going to be organic growth. And then he goes on and he challenges us a little more. I'll be rapid. He goes up, he said, therefore, brethren. By the way, you see the word therefore in the Bible? Take a time out, because he's saying, all of this I have told you. What has he told us? He told us, this is who you are in Christ. This is what you can become. He says, now, therefore, verse 10, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing, for as long as you practice that spiritual formation, that's practicing the disciplines daily, in the morning and night, the disciplines yourself, practicing. As long as you practice these things, you'll never stumble. What did Peter know about stumbling? Oh, he knew a great deal about stumbling, did he not? A great deal about stumbling. He said, you'll not stumble. He said, for this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is what? It is abundantly supplied to you. In other words, entering the kingdom, it is all supplied to you and all supplied to me. That's growing. Abundantly supplied to us. I mean, graduating from this earth is a wonderful thing, that first morning that we have in heaven. I consider it right as long as I am in this earthly dwelling. And Peter goes on, and he encourages us, and he tells us, you've got to grow in your knowledge. Then look at 16 to the end of the chapter. It's very simple. You see, you have two groups. The Gentiles, the Greeks, are saying, Peter, do you know what you're talking about? I mean, is all this really true? Is this how you grow? We have all this, and this is what we can become, and this is how we continue to grow and are ready to graduate in this life or to live this life. Is this really how it works? Who are you, Peter? And Peter said, let me give some evidence, courtroom evidence, to all the Gentiles. And this is what he says, verse 16, for we did not follow cleverly devised false tales when we made it known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Verse 17, for when we received the honor and glory from God the Father, such an inheritance of this made known to him by the majestic glory, as my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. What's he saying? He said, I was on that mountain. There was Moses and Elijah, and there was Jesus, probably Mount Hermon, maybe Mount Horeb. And I said, well, let's build three tabernacles. And suddenly Elijah and Moses disappeared in the fog, and there stood Jesus alone. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved and Son in whom I well plead. He said, along with James and John, I heard that voice. I know this is authentic. That's a direct witness that will hold in any court. That is empirical evidence. Say to the Gentiles, then to the Jews, they'd say, I wonder about it. Look at verse 19. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns in your hearts. But know that this is first of all. In other words, he is saying here that to the Jews, you know all this is true. Read the Old Testament. Here's prophecy fulfilled. Prophecy fulfilled. Promise realized. Just read it. How does it happen? So he's answering to the Gentiles by saying, I've experienced this. I've given witness. He's answering to the Jew and say, this is true. This is why I know. And by the way, that little word know in the 20th verse, if you have your Bible, is a different word than the other knows you find in this chapter. That word know doesn't mean I've got knowledge. This is who I am. This is what I can become. Oh, no. Doesn't this mean that kind of know? It's a know that you talk about that Adam knew Eve. It's an intimate knowledge in a marriage. It's an intimate knowledge in a relationship. Here, Peter is saying, listen, you know, I know, because there has been this experience, personal experience I've had with Jesus Christ. Here's all the knowledge, but here's the know of experience.
Well, before we leave you today, Dr. Young is here to answer a couple of questions coming out of the message we've just heard. Dr. Young, we're seeing a movement today of people who say, I'm not a Christian, but I am spiritual. Is it really possible to live a spiritual life apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ?
Sure, somebody can live a spiritual life, a mystical life, and conjure up all kinds of dreams and ideas. They can be animists. They can be all kind of religions and worship all kind of idols and live a quasi-spiritual life. But true spirituality comes when Jesus Christ enters our lives by invitation, and then the Holy Spirit superintends our lives. That is where holiness and true spirituality belongs. There's always a false kind of spirituality trying to replace the Holy Spirit, who is genuinely a part of the Trinity and genuinely operating in the lives of those who have received Jesus as Lord and as Savior. That is biblical spirituality.
Well, today you talked about the need to turn from sin and embrace Jesus Christ as Savior. How do we do that?
It's a simple act. We just reverse ourselves. We go in the opposite direction. We move out of darkness into light. God convicts us through His Holy Spirit of sin, and we recognize it. We confess it. We face up to it. We don't try to explain it away or say, well, it happens like this, or it wasn't my fault, or I was caught up. It was a silly mistake. We confess our sin honestly to the God in heaven, and then we turn away from that sin, and all of a sudden we have a brand new life. We don't get it better. We are become brand new.
Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope the Holy Spirit is moving through today's message to help you in your own winning walk with Christ. And we want to help you even further by sending you Dr. Young's 5-message series, Overcoming Tough Times. Suffering is an inevitable part of life, but God never leaves you alone in your pain, and He always gives you a way to overcome it. This encouraging series takes you to the book of Job and gives you straightforward answers to the real questions about suffering that we all ask, equipping you with the proven truth you need to experience victory in the midst of your pain. We're excited to send you a copy of Overcoming Tough Times as a thank you for your gift to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy of Overcoming Tough Times. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Listen in tomorrow as Dr. Young shares proven truth about the new person Christ makes you through His grace.